Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Michael Carbone. Nathan Young. Nathan Young. Jeff Paulson.
Yep, Jeff here for Richard.
Thank you. J.R. Sloan.
Present.
Jagadishan Krishna Murthy.
Present.
Doug Lang. Eddie Cook.
Here.
Thank you. Christine Ward.
Here.
Michael Carpenter.
Here.
David Byers.
Here.
Ryan Mori.
I am here.
Lev Gonick. Or John Rome. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Halle. All right, I will go ahead and start by reminding folks that this is a public meeting. We do follow the public meeting rules. So if you do have public comments, there is a link here on the agenda to submit those comments, and staff will disposition those. Next item, I'd like to ask the staff if we got any notations around the conflict of interest.
Mr. Chairman, we don't have any.
Okay. I'll remind the members as we progress through the agenda items today, if you do feel there is a conflict of interest you need to register, please just raise your hand and we will handle that with officially with the paperwork post-meeting, but we'll note it for the purposes of the meeting and of course handle it in our voting processes. So with that, we'll go ahead and step into our first item, which is the approval of our December 18th recording as the official minutes of the last meeting. Should that be December or January? Let me ask the staff that.
It was December.
Okay. All right.
January we took off, right?
That's right. We ended up canceling January. All right. So December, we have a December recording. Take a motion with regard to that as our minutes for our prior.
Mr. Chair, this is Eddie. I move to approve the recording.
Thanks, Eddie. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, I'll award that one to Jenny. It was a tie with Michael, though. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right, thank you. With that, we'll step into our next voting item, I should say, which was coming to us from Asset and School Facilities Division.
Hello, Mr. Chairman and committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present today.
Here, John, let me introduce. So I'll go ahead and address the chairman. So good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Modular. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined today by members from the Department of Administration's School Facilities Division, who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. The ADOA School Facilities Division is seeking to refresh and replace an in-house facilities management platform developed over 20 years ago. The proposed solution will streamline day-to-day operations and migrate 9 business modules into an existing school facilities portal Salesforce environment. The new system will consist of interactive task dashboards and reports, allowing users visibility of projects, reporting requirements, and assessment processes. To provide this solution, ADOA's School Facilities Division seeks approval from ITAC to move forward with the project, which is funded by a federal grant. I will now turn it over to John Penzar and the project team to present additional information regarding the project and answer any questions you may have. John?
Thank you, Justin. Okay, so for the, we're replacing a 20-year-old district access system that struggles to support our growing operations and data for the 125 plus million square feet of school facilities that we have in the state. We need.
I'm sorry, John. Could you let's pause for a second? I'd like you to introduce the members of your team, so we know who's on the call from school facilities.
Certainly. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So myself, John Penzler, I'm the chief information officer for our division. Callie Tyler, she was scheduled off today. I'm not sure she's actually showed up, but she is the assistant director that's at the head of our division. Rebecca Pereira is our deputy assistant director and the project sponsor. Vedank Thakur is our project manager. Deborah Norris is our policy specialist and federal program manager. Sean Mazel is our training and technology manager. And from the AST team, we have Colin Warren, Malavika J.S. Simha, Devalis Newburn. Thank you. Next slide. All right. So yes, we're replacing a 20-year-old district access system that struggles to support the growing operations of and data for our 125 plus million square feet of school facilities that we serve. We need to align with state initiatives, including enhanced security through an SaaS solution. And the outdated system prohibits scalability for future business needs. The benefit to the state agency and the constituents is a unified platform. By augmenting the existing Salesforce application for the building renewal grant solution, we'll create a unified portal for SFD staff and stakeholders. The enhanced features will be increased transparency, efficiency, and better prioritization resource allocation by using integral Salesforce functionality such as dashboards and end user reporting capability. The data migration is expected to be a smooth transition from our legacy system to Salesforce, and that will improve our data management and reliability. Next slide, please. So for the proposed solution, our objective is to modernize and enhance the existing system by integrating current and new functionalities into the existing AZ School Facilities Portal, which is already on Salesforce. The outcome is going to be a unified portal for stakeholders, SFT staff, and school district representatives to manage, view, and analyze all of the state school facilities division's programs. Key functionalities will include a facilities condition index, 5-year minimum adequacy guidelines assessment, new school construction, preventative maintenance, adjacent ways, and annual district reporting. Enhanced data-driven decision-making for school facilities maintenance and policy support. Next slide, please. So to get this project underway, we did our due diligence by creating a task order issued through the state approved value-added resellers under the listed contract numbers. Vendors provided quotes in response to the task order. 3 quotes were reviewed based on how well they met the project requirements. AST's quote best fit the project requirements and was selected. The selection process ensured alignment with project needs and budget. 7 of our SFD staff members participated in vendor selection. The technology we will be using is based on the Salesforce platform, and it's going to build on our building renewal grant system that's already in place. We have 17 existing Salesforce licenses for staff and 450 community plus and slash experience licenses for our school districts, which will be sufficient for the new functionality introduced as a result of this project. Next slide, please. So the project responsibilities will be divided as follows. The agency will take care of the SFD resource allocation, project communication with stakeholders. We'll create UAT test scripts and perform user acceptance testing. The shared responsibilities between the agency and the vendor will be project planning, project management, issues resolution management, scope control, and data migration. The vendor contractor will be responsible for a majority of the project, including instance planning and deployment, requirements validation, solution design, system and configuration, consulting, resource allocation, and creating system testing plans, and many others. Next slide, please. So our project timeline is going to start in May of this year. For 2 months, we will be in discovery and detailed design. At the end of June, we will start working on the configuration and development in the sandbox environment, and that will proceed through January of 2026. After that, we'll be doing some system validation and testing, user acceptance testing, and then deployment planning and deployment in production. After that, we'll have 1 month of hypercare as part of the project and closure. Starting at the end of October, we will be working on data migration and planning and execution. Next slide, please. So the project costs reflected here are all covered by the SASE grant that was awarded to ADOA from the federal government. In FY 2025, we will spend approximately $470,000 for professional and outside services. Software, additional software that will be needed for the development process will be approximately $20,000. And licenses for the contracted developers for Salesforce will be approximately $28,000. In FY 26, the professional and outside services will be approximately $873,000. Software, once again, will be approximately $20,000. Licensing and maintenance fees for FY 2026 will be approximately $56,000 for our total development cost in 2026 of $950,000. In FY 27, we will be an extended support for 1 year, and that has been quoted at $113,000 approximately. FY 28 and 29, you'll see we have asterisks next to our licensing and maintenance fees. That is because those are already included in our operational budget with the current implementation of Salesforce that we have. Next slide, please. Our measures of success, the new software is expected to increase the responsiveness of school districts to the statutorily required annual reporting items by 10% in the first year of production of the new system. With the current tool, on-time reporting stands at 24% and late at 76%. The increase will be mostly due to the ability of the modern system to automate communications with the school district stakeholders at every level of the need for submission. The modern infrastructure will provide security and maintainability that is not natively available in the current system. Next slide, please. So we have some recommended ADOA asset conditions. Do I need to read through these? I presume these are all pretty standard. I'm happy to.
No, I think they're supposed to be, there's some Q&A coming out. The Q&A is supposed to come before conditions. So.
All right. Mr. Byers.
We'll transition to Q&A with the members. Mr. Byers, go ahead.
Yeah, two questions. First, I see you've got a federal grant fund this. Given the fact that a lot of federal funds are being frozen and there seems to be a lot of, uncertainty of what's going on, do you have the money available? Is it here? Are you concerned at all that you might not get the federal funds actually into the state?
Let me defer, if I may, to Rebecca Pereira, who's also on the call. She is most apprised of the current situation. Rebecca?
Thank you, John. Mr. Byers, we have the money was advanced appropriated by the federal government, and of course that could mean a lot of things. We do not have it cash in hand. We do draw down, so we are actively monitoring any actions that are being taken. Our federal partners with the U.S. Department of Education, at the last time we spoke, had not mentioned that this would be an issue. I will add that while we're actively monitoring what's going on, the design of the building, the requirements, the modules, and all of the work that has gone into the project would deliver functionality throughout. And so should there be a concern, we wouldn't be left with a product or a functionality product that we can't use. We just would have other components still left in our current system.
So does the work agreement or the work order or the contract you have, does it have a provision that in the event that funding ceases, you can halt the contract?
First, I believe that that's a typical contract clause in our in state procurement, that funding is contingent on available resources at the state. So, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. And then, can you go back to the slide with the benefits? You talked about a 10% benefit. If I understood this, you're saying right now only 24% of these reports are on time, 76% are late. Is that, I'm reading that correctly?
Yes.
And you're going to invest $1 million and it's going to increase from 24 to 34% on time?
In the first year, that, you know, we have no basis for, you know, this is kind of a ballpark number that we came up with as a metric. I think the key factor in this project is modernizing. We have, you know, I personally built the existing system, and this is 20-year-old technology, 25 now, actually. Okay. And it needs to be modernized. Part of the project investment justification requirement was to have some sort of, you know, key measurable metric. So this is one that we could came up with where we had really good data to pull numbers from the current system, and then we'll be able to compare apples to apples with the new system.
Regardless of what happens here, you've got to replace the system. I guess I would just hope that the benefit would be greater than a 10%, which still leaves basically three quarters, you know, or 60%, say, late. So, but I get it. Okay, thanks.
Certainly.
I had a similar reaction when I saw that. But I guess for me, it begs the question of what are all the reasons why reporting is late? You know, some of which may have absolutely nothing to do with the system. And while the system can do, I think the automated communications and status updates and that kind of thing can certainly aid this crew in, we'll say, chasing the folks to get their reports in. Depending upon the reasons why, obviously, you know, our ability to affect folks who are going to be late may be limited. But our current technology will be able to report on it robustly.
Yes.
Got it.
Christine, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to go back, if I could, to Mr. Byers' original question with regards to the federal funding component. Did I hear correctly that none of the funds have been drawn down yet?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Ward, the process to draw down funds is based off of a need. You can't draw down a total amount, but we, with this order in place, we will be able to draw down more expediently the funding from the federal government.
Okay, so no, I mean, there haven't been any initial design or any, there's been no drawdown from that award yet, as I what I understand.
Not for this IT project. We have been drawing down for other components of the grant.
Oh, that's okay. All right. It's been awarded and you have started drawing down.
There are other components, including staffing, training, a needs assessment, and some work we've done to assess different districts across the state. So we've probably drawn down $1 million at least and paid from that grant of the total grant. This is just one key deliverable, and we can begin drawing down as we award the project.
Very good. Thank you. And I would also mirror the comments of Mr. Sloan and Mr. Byers as well. The 10% gain on a very, very sad responsiveness is, you know, kind of a tough one. So. All right, thank you.
All right, any other questions from the members? Mr. Murray, I see you, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you could, John, just talk high level, because I'd prefer not to have specific vulnerabilities on the record published out to the public, but if you could talk a little bit high level about what's going to be addressed. I assume this is a 25-year-old on-premise solution that's being migrated to a cloud-based SaaS solution. How is that going to impact the security of this system? Again, high level, I don't want to hear specifics. We can talk offline about those.
Sure. So this is a the existing system is classic ASP, Microsoft ASP, and ASP.NET. Once again, totally homegrown. We do have that hosted in AWS at the moment, and it is hosted behind Cloudflare. So we have some measure of security, right? The login processes and everything were all home built. So I probably answers your question.
That's great. Thank you. We can certainly get more details offline. Appreciate
certainly.
It.
Certainly. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee members? If not, I will turn it back over to you, Justin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the pitch be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right. These are the pretty standard conditions. Any discussion on this from the committee? If not, we'll move forward with accepting a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman, I move the project be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Doug. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. That's a unanimous vote. Good luck with the project, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Okay, with that, we'll move forward to the next project, which is, I believe this is a change request coming to us from Access on their MES mainframe refactor project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Cheyenne McFadden, and I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, which you may know as Access, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of the project change request. On February 22nd, 2024, ADOA ASSET approved the project investment justification for Access to procure the MES mainframe refactor solution. The primary objective of the solution is to migrate the mainframe systems to the Azure cloud platform, as the current mainframe-based application being utilized has nearly reached its total capacity. Access is requesting approval of a change request for an increase in budget to this project. I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions you may have. Anthony.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. I know this doesn't look like much of a team, but there are many more behind us. So I'm Anthony Flott. I'm the Chief Technology Officer, and I also have Joshua Worley, who is our Deputy Assistant Director in the Business Finance Division with us here today. Next slide, please. So I know Cheyenne went through some of the project overview. One of the things I want to highlight as we're walking through this is that the legislature has appropriated us money for some of this, not just the mainframe, but overall modernization efforts. And the vehicle for which we pull down that money is through ITAC and PITCH. You'll notice that several items, four to be in total, are all change requests on existing open, you know, ITAC and PIDGES. And this is us not necessarily that there's anything wrong with the project, but this is us pulling down those additional monies as part of the ongoing modernization efforts. Again, this was kind of went over, so I'll go ahead and hit the next slide there. So, current overall project health. Now, I know I just said not necessarily reflective of project status, but in this particular case, it is. So, a couple of the things that I want to highlight. The budget is not exceeding original expectations with this particular change order. One of the issues we do want to highlight is the schedule. And some of the things you'll see later on in this with the IVV report and some other items are around headcount and specifically some of the limitations we've had with trying to modernize a system with a headcount cap. As you could imagine, when you're replacing an old system while bringing on a new system, you need additional staff in order to kind of maintain both environments, right? Maintain the project work, maintain the current system while that project's being onboarded. So this particular change order is to add additional staff to help with that. You know, specifically, as we pointed out, contractors who specialize in ideal data comp. Next slide, please. Again, a couple items on here that are around the current overall project. I will again, you know, the milestones, which I've kind of talked through already. And then also in, so one's the increased support, which I've already mentioned. The other one is with the QA help with the 40-year-old system. That was loosely documented, I'll say. Some of the QA work has proved to be a little more extensive than we originally intended. And so we are ramping up our QA teams in order to keep up with the DDI on this, or the refactoring on this. And so that has presented an opportunity for us where we need to add some more resources and automation to that so we could effectively keep up with those QA efforts. Lastly is putting together a detailed exit plan, and that will be accomplished through some of this additional staffing as well. Next slide, please. All right, so here is the some of the change. What initiated this change? So again, as I've already talked through, some of the headcount restrictions where we had planned on staffing up with either vendor help or additional FTEs, we've had to switch to using some contract help specific to this project overall. Access expects there to be additional change requests for this project as well. So we just wanted to highlight that up front. I mentioned, you know, the vehicle for which we are to pull down the money the legislature has set aside for us is this. And so as we have new contracts, new opportunities that we need to resolve, we will be putting in those additional items as needed. Next slide, please. Financial impact. So we're showing, and so I'll put this slide here first, or I'll let this slide view first. You'll notice that it shows an increase. When we go to the next slide, we're going to kind of show the net, if you will. And for the next two slides, I know Joshua is going to take those, but I wanted to highlight it is showing an increase. But because of our initial start date and the way things aligned with having to get the approvals necessary, et cetera, we did not have a spend in FY24, and so that's kind of been shifted forward. So while this shows a net increase, you'll see a little bit later, it is basically net. And with that, I'll go next slide and turn it over to Joshua.
Thanks, Anthony. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. So this is the current project costs. As you see in the current costs, we show spending in 24. That's being shifted into the future years. And then you'll note in 26, we have operational costs. On the next slide, if we can go there, those operational costs in 26 are gone. We're moving that up into the development part. And those 24 costs have been moved into 25, 26, 27. So overall, it's not really an increase in the total project budget, but it's an increase in the development part of the budget, which we're talking about in this presentation. Next slide.
Actually, can I ask the staff just, I think for the, so I will end up coming back here later, probably, if we don't do this now. Can you go back to, I think, at least for me, I wanted to compare the prior, like, total column to the current total column. Before we leave this, in case there's any immediate questions. So can we go one more so we can see?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Just for an FYI, obviously the total operational here on the current should probably reflect what about 57, and the total operational on the amended should be 38. I think there was a slight mistake on the totals, and the development in this one should be 19 million less than what's on the amended.
Okay, and go ahead and go forward, staff. Okay. Yeah, so I think the only thing that's missing here, and Josh, you may have this, is when I'll say in the total category, like what's the net change in the project? Mm-hmm. Oh, over the 5 years. So we are looking at the columns on the right. The shifting and on the development and operational costs, you know, one goes down, one goes up, but what is the net change?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I don't have the exact change. It's very close to net zero.
Okay.
Essentially, we're moving that 19 million operational up into development. It's very close to zero.
Okay. I was thinking that. I just wanted to kind of confirm it. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. And I figured I'd ask this question because I have this for, I guess, the following three pages as well. Our understanding, and Anthony mentioned this, legislature has appropriated some money through the APF in the 25 budget. The executive is proposing an additional deposit into the APF from the general fund in the 26 budget. And I just wanted to make sure I had my terminology correct, because the overarching project of the mainframe modernization is comprised of these four individual pidges. Am I understanding that correct? So it's not like when we talk about the modernization overall, it's these four pidges sort of grouped together into one larger project, if I'm understanding, because we haven't appropriated specifically for like the refactor or for the ServiceNow pidges. We've been appropriating for MES modernization as a total. So I just wanted to make sure I was understanding sort of the terminology and how the projects are labeled.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Paulson, yes, you're right. MES modernization as appropriated is in these four project buckets. We received APF in 24. We received APF in 25. The $25 are what's being requested here in these four presentations. In 26, we anticipate additional MES APF appropriation. Whether or not they are bucketed in these four, there's another fit. Depends on how we request that to you guys next year.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead. Carry on, Anthony. Or Jess, Joshua, whoever's doing
this. Mr. Chairman, is there another question?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Byers. I missed you. Go ahead.
Yeah. If my memory's right, Access also runs the program for Hawaii.
Yes.
And if that's correct, are they paying a portion of their share of all of this?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Byers, yes. These presentations typically just touch on the Arizona side, but Hawaii shares in a lot of these costs.
Thank you.
Mr. Lang.
Since we're in the beginning, can we go back one or two slides? And this question is for you, Anthony. I know you were talking about we're statusing overall health. What is, when we see all the yellow and we see the red, obviously we've talked through some of this. Obviously there's money that's shifting, that part makes sense. What's the overall headline when we look at these in terms of project health? Is it we're behind from a development standpoint? Is it we're tracking where we should be, but we need to shift money and dollars around? What's the summary when you're speaking to this?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Ling, and Mr. Chair. The overall summary is really testing and SMEs, if I had to be honest, and I think we kind of have them highlighted there. So we have SMEs on our side, but they are also the people who run the day-to-day. And so when there is a conflict in which gets done first, day-to-day wins, right? And so project is taking a slight hit. In terms of development, we are on schedule with development, or refactor, I should say. The refactored code is humming along as intended. It is actually on sprint 8 right now. We've had no hiccups with the refactored code. Where we have had hiccups is with the QA and the baselining, right? Because we do not have documentation. We've been honest about that. We've tried to find ways where we could accelerate that. But without that documentation, we have to rely on the SMEs to help build the baselines that are necessary to validate the refactored code. And that's really where the bottleneck is. So these changes are to combat that particular item, right? Hopefully that makes sense and kind of boils it down.
Got it. So the money's being shifted to really drive a focus to where you need it.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, unless there's something urgent, we'll hold questions till we get to the end. Back to you, Anthony and Josh, whoever's taking the next slide.
I think we can move to the next slide and have Anthony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So this was our original project timeline. I will note, much like we were just talking about, we will be re-baselining here as we bring on more bodies. And so there is a potential that this may shift. We don't know what that is yet, but we will be working through that. So I just wanted to highlight that based on the risk we kind of just went through. One other thing to note is, as well as this, as well as the other four projects, we do have an established MES modernization plan that we have posted on our website. We update it yearly. It is a 5-year plan. And so all of these items, change orders, et cetera, through the MES modernization money that Mr. Polson, just spoke about, are driving that roadmap and those modernization efforts. So I just wanted to call that out as we go through the rest. All of this is part of a plan that we're steadily working through executing on. So next slide, please. So again, these are key findings from the EVV report. You will notice that most of them are around the same items we just discussed. Again, it's around staffing, QA, resource management. And so I don't know if I know we have a QA slide after this, so I will let you guys read through this. I'm not going to repeat it word line by line, but we have some ideas around using generative AI to help speed up the baseline testing. That's part of one of these. So whereas instead of using a SME to generate the baselines, we're going to use AI to generate a baseline. Currently, we're tracking at about a 70%. Don't quote me on this number, please, but it's around 70% of actual. So what that means is the AI is generating a baseline that is 70% of what the SME would do, and the SME is going in to clean up the additional percentage to make that 100%. And so as you can imagine, that is speeding up the amount of time to get these baselines created, because they are not having to do all of the work. And then the last one is just adding the additional staff and resource management. I will mention one other thing. So this is from our EVV, which is PCG. As part of the resource management, we did bring in an overall project management team who is leading all of these efforts now for us to help with this. They are CSG, and so that is also a check off of this off the IVV binding, right? Where we now have some more resource management staff in that area as well. So I believe that is the last slide. If you want to next slide it, I think it's Q&A if there are any additional. I'll throw it over to you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. And none of us will have to quote you, because you have been recorded and we will reference the recording for your 70% claim.
I should have said safe harbor. I apologize.
All right, so I'll open it up to the committee for any further questions. I do have one. If we can go back to, I don't care either, probably the last of the financial slides, just for context. When we look at, the project kicked off in 24,
I mean, is it reality that there was no expense in 24, or we're just, it feels like we've stood up a project team and it's been there. There had to be some expense. Now, maybe it was, how was it accounted for? And or is this project is at least shifted? We're, you know, because it's starting in 25, then do we need to account that it's actually going to run into 29 now, or beyond? What are we forecasting for the project completion?
I will take that one. So there was an initial start, I want to say like June of 24, right? But we really got started fiscal year 25, which was okay. July. And so that's kind of the, again, for those who aren't aware, we had to wait for the legislature, JLBC to meet. And so that kind of backed us up into that late June to get started, right? And then again, things really didn't kick off until 25 when we got our first bill. So that's why you're showing some of that. Last thing, you'll notice that that 15 million there in 28 is just kind of it's an even number, which probably should look a little odd. And so we have to forecast out 5 years, even if we don't intend on it going out that extra year. And so again, we are going to be off the mainframe by end of calendar year 27, as required by our, you know, some of our contractual obligations, etc. And so all DDI should be done well before end of calendar year 27.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the question I was sort of asking behind is, do we need to consider recasting or shifting the page for the 5 year window? If the project isn't, it could extend that far. So sounds like you're saying plans have not changed from the end date perspective, which again is why you're applying more resource now, or seeking to apply more resource now to accelerate your timeline.
Okay. That's correct. We're backing into that. If I may, end of calendar year 27 is our back end date, right? So we're not missing that. And so we're trying to do what we can now to accelerate, okay. Making sure that doesn't happen.
All right. Any other questions from the committee? I appreciate that answer. All right. If there are no other questions from the committee, I'll hand it back over to Cheyenne.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions as presented. You can note.
Are these any different than what was previously proposed? Or are these were these the original existing or original conditions of the project? Has anything changed here? Do we know?
Yes, we are. If you look at the fifth condition here, the initial agency's plan was to submit a plan by December 2024 ITAC, but the agency has requested 6 more months of time, and that's why the condition has been updated to June 2025.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. I'll offer to the committee for consideration. If this is a project due to its size and scope, this is something that we should be getting a touch point on, not just when there's a need for a change request, but maybe a quarterly update on progress, so that we're tracking with the progress of the project going forward. I will offer that for consideration to the committee and letting me know your thoughts. Anyone?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Okay. If there's consensus, I would say staff, let's plan to add a condition of a quarterly update, cadence that we'll establish with access. We can set the schedule following the meeting. But we would add that as one more condition to say that we'll do quarterly updates through at least the completion of development of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will add that.
Okay. All right. with that, we'll say with the conditions as amended, I will take a motion with regard to the project.
So moved.
Thank you, Christine. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, that's unanimous. I probably should have asked for this, Anthony, before we got into this, but you're recognizing that we got four change requests from you coming. And I think you alluded to it a little bit in your introduction on this first one, but if you can help us understand how these relate to each other, even though we're voting for them independently, understanding the intersections, or if any of these are truly standalone, I think that's helpful for the committee to have context. So maybe before you jump in on what the next one is on the FWA, help us understand for the FWA, the ISD integrator, and ServiceNow, how do those three relate to all, you know, this, the overall modernization that, you know, which I think Jeffrey referred to.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee, so I will just jump in again, so I'm back. The mainframe refactor project, as we just went through, that's our core system. That's our core adjudication system that processes. I'm sure I'm going to leave a few out, but that processes the enrollment of members, that processes providers, not provider registration, but the providers assign payments, claims, and encounters. And there are a few other items that system. So that's our core adjudication Medicaid system for the business. As part of our modernization efforts, most people don't build monolithic systems anymore, right? And so we are pulling off some of the things that are done better. And I'm going to lead into that with program integrity right now. When we first built the mainframe 40 years ago, it was around speed. It was around accuracy of the submitted claim and processing that and getting the payment out as fast as possible. It's what you want your adjudication system to do. As you can imagine, fraud, waste, abuse has definitely changed in those 40 years. And so doing that in the code set that we have today is not best in class. And so that is where this program integrity contract comes in and the change order for it. So I will get into that a little more. Next slide.
If I may jump in, Anthony, I'd love to just give a brief overview to this project to set the stage for our committee members and Mr. Chairman here. So again, everyone, my name is Cheyenne McFadden and I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. And I'm joined here today by members of Access, who will in a moment give a brief overview of today's change requests. But for some background, on August 22nd, 2024, ADOA Asset approved the project investment justification for Access to procure the Fraud, Waste, Abuse Program Integrity Solution. And the primary objective of this solution was to implement a prepay and post-pay analytics tool to reduce overall fraud, improve the accuracy of payment cycles, and quickly identify cases of potential fraud prior to the final payment of those claims. Today, Access is requesting approval of a change request for an increase in budget to this project. And thank you, Anthony. I will now turn it back over to Anthony to present some additional information and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Cheyenne, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I am Anthony Flott, again, the Chief Technology Officer for Access. And again, I have Joshua Worley, our Deputy Assistant Director from Business and Finance with me. Next slide. As Cheyenne beautifully described, this was a specific effort as part of our overall Medicaid enterprise system modernization, specifically to combat and reduce the amount of fraud that the Medicaid system has seen. This particular change order is a direct finding from EVV, where we are adding additional staff to help with the resource management and overall project management. The particular project, if you're not aware, is leveraging state-of-the-art AI models specific to the industry to both pull out and find fraud in our fee-for-service areas. For those of you who aren't aware, Access is comprised of both managed care and fee-for-service. Fee-for-service are the ones we pay directly. The managed care operations are handled by the health plans themselves, and they do their own fraud detection for those particular items. And so this is us essentially keeping up with that on our fee-for-service side. Next slide, please. Here is the overall project health as it stands today. You'll notice we have a couple of specific risks. I will jump into those quick. So one of them is modifying the mainframe prepay adjudication process to pull in this fraud waste abuse system so that once the fraud waste abuse system makes a determination on if the claim is valid or not, it will then send it to the mainframe for the additional adjudication processing. So I just want to highlight the key points is that the mainframe is the system of record in this, and the mainframe and the mainframe only is what will make the determination on if something should be paid or not. But the fraud waste abuse system can pull out anything that looks that is not sent incorrectly or looks abusive prior to it making it to the adjudication process. That is important from both a contractual perspective and a CMS perspective on what we say is making the determination on the claim. Next thing is the conversion of Access Online and paper claims. So today we have a online portal for which we'll say smaller providers are able to upload a paper claim or a single claim. And so they can log into this website, they can do this manually. This is for those providers who don't have a system or an EHR that does this automatically. The vast majority of our MCOs, our providers, our health plans all do this automatically, but we do have it, I believe it's 1% of our claims each month. Do come in via this manual method. Today, this goes directly to the mainframe. Going forward, it needs to go through our fraud waste abuse system so that there are no gaps in the process on claims coming in. So those are the two risks that have been identified as we've been working through the project, and we've outlined them here. Next slide. So the change. So we are asking for an increase, as I mentioned before, two key areas. One is CSG, who is doing the project management and resource management for this project. The additional item is for the certification of this solution. One thing you may hear over and over from us is the certification of a system. So there are key systems that CMS has identified that require certification from CMS that essentially says the system is working and the funds spent from the feds are doing what they were intended to do. That certification process involves several key areas, to name a few. It is an outcomes-based certification that focuses on the measurable outcomes that we've identified the system will meet. It can also be specific to state-based outcomes or state-specific outcomes of items we're trying to achieve. Lastly, you need to produce measurable metrics and evidence that the system is doing what it was intended to do. And then lastly, the required artifacts that usually come through the IVNV or the certification partner. That is an independent measurement of all of the things I kind of just went into and more to say the system is, again, doing what was intended. And this is a requirement of the federal funds that we pull down. as part of this project. Again, I'll highlight our federal match on this project is a 90% match for DDI. And so that does not include maintenance and operations. That is just the development and implementation. Next slide. Again, a proposal increase of about $3.3 million. We have a note here that the actual spend is showing zero. That is due to an issue with the AZ360 system, and we will have that resolved soon. And this will reflect appropriately once that has been done. Next slide. High level timeframes. We don't anticipate this slipping. You can see again, we started in October. We are well on our way. Development is currently underway as we speak. Next slide. Here are the costs broken down, 5-year totals, or 5 years, and then the totals. License and maintenance fees are in the middle there. And again, the total development cost are highlighted with the operational costs for the years after implementation. Next slide. And here is the change. So the first slide was what we originally sent in, that this is the change. And you'll see the additional item, the additional monies added there. Some in 25, mostly in 26. FY 25 and FY 26. And I apologize, Joshua, I probably should have let you speak on this. Please jump in if you have anything additional to add.
No, I like it this way, Anthony. Thank you.
My pleasure. Next slide. This is a IBMB recommendation. These are two of the key findings. Again, you will see the steps we've taken to resolve these, as mentioned, with bringing in a experienced project management team and also more resources. Again, two of the key findings there. And we feel that, you know, with this, we will be addressing those findings and keeping the project moving forward. Next slide. Mr. Chair.
All right, we'll open up to the committee for questions. All right, if there are no questions, I'll hand it back over to you, Cheyenne.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that this change request be approved with the conditions as presented. And please note that condition C has been completed.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on the conditions? If there are none or no discussion on that, I will take a motion with regard to the project. Or the change request, I should say.
Mr. Chair, this is Ryan. I'll move to approve with conditions.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Christine. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Mr. Byers, you were muted. I don't know if your vote came through.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right, another unanimous approval. Let's keep going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Again, I am Cheyenne McFadden, and I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration, and I'm here today with ACCESS, who will in a moment give a brief overview of the Systems Integrator project. To supply some background, on September 20th, 2023, ADOA ASSET approved the project investment justification for ACCESS to procure the systems integrator solution. The primary objective of the solution is to create a standardized and electronic document and data management solution across enterprise systems to allow the business to efficiently and effectively make decisions. Access is requesting approval of a change request for an increase in budget, timeline, and scope to this project. And again, this is for systems integrator. My apologies for the ServiceNow confusion. This is for systems integrator. And I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheyenne, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Anthony Flanagan, and I have Joshua Worley with me. I think you guys are well aware of that spiel now. Thank you. I appreciate it. So Jay Hart asked me on the last one. I want to go into it on this one as well. Our system integrator is a key part to our Medicaid Enterprise System Modernization Plan. This is the, we'll call it a hub, for which all of the communication for all of our systems will go through. This system houses any key system, the SI system, the system integrator systems, housing any key system that needs to be shared amongst other systems. So that includes our operational data store, our enterprise document management solution, our MFT solution, and many others. And so here we have the original overview. Cheyenne, I believe you touched on that some. And so if we can go to the next slide, I'll get into what this change order is specifically about. So first, I'd like to highlight this system is currently trending green. We have had multiple change orders on this system already where we've been adding new functionality. Most recently was the enterprise document management solution that I referenced earlier. This particular change order is going to be pulling the EVV solution, which is electronic visit verification solution, into our SI, again, into a centralized model. Currently, we outsource this today to a third-party solution. And when we ran the numbers and looked at the utilization, in our, you know, between our providers and health plans, it made a lot of sense to pull this in-house and at a much cheaper cost for maintenance and operations ongoing, as well as now we have a solution that is within the state's control. Next slide. So here is the change request overview. So essentially, we are asking to pull the EVV solution, aggregator only, into our SI, which is where we have our other core modules and offerings, as I mentioned earlier. Because of some of the headcount restrictions, we might have been able to do this ourselves, but we chose to, again, outsource the DDI of this into our SI platform. From there, if we have the manpower to maintain that SI ourselves, we can, or we can also allow that to be M&O'd via contract if we choose. Next slide. So here is the goal at a high level. One is the data integration around the EVV aggregator. Essentially pulling it into the SI will allow us to use APIs to get to the data. We'll have real-time access to the data, and we'll also be able to report on it with our data warehouse solution and our Power BI is what we use for our reporting. It will be housed in our central database where we are housing our other systems and efforts. The security for the SI platform has already been vetted and gone through the MARSI standards, which is the minimal acceptable risk for standards and exchanges as required by CMS. And so it is a secure platform that is regularly audited. Again, I mentioned the reporting and analytics before, just highlighting that we will be using a similar report and analytics platform that we use for the rest of the agency. This is different than the solution we have today, where the SaaS vendor that we have uses a completely different reporting platform, which adds to some of the confusion. So again, pulling this all in so we have a centralized analytics platform and reporting on the data for one of our key systems. And lastly, we have the user interface. I will get into our ServiceNow architecture on the next change order. Hopefully you guys aren't sick of me by then, but ServiceNow is what we are using as our both internally and externally as our user interface, right? Our system of our GUI, if you will. So as we pull more and more of our solutions into the system, we want to present that same unified front end. And so, you know, it will help consolidate accounts because now we're going to have the same single sign-on account. You won't need separate accounts for each one of our solutions. And also it'll have the same look and feel across the offerings we are providing, and which EVV is one of them. Next slide. So we have the increase of $8 million to the SI platform. This is DDI and some M&O. I will let Joshua get into the specifics on the next slide because I stepped on him last time. But one thing I want to highlight is that our current EVV solution, as it was up for renewal, was trending at about $8 million a year. And so with this DDI being $8 million, we anticipate the M&O. I believe the anticipated M&O was around $500,000, if I'm not mistaken. But I believe if we go to the next slide, we have that locked in for you. And I will hand it over to Joshua.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As you can see, looking at 24 and 25, we have about $5 million a year as the current project costs. If we go to the next slide, the $8 million increase is spread between 24 and 25, where we go to about $8 million and about $13 million in 25. And we have here the total operational costs, about $6 million a year. And just a reminder, development, we get 90% federal match. M&O, we get 75%. So even if it's a, you know, spend $8 million here to save $8 million, it's actually a bigger savings on the state side to have the development instead. Next slide.
Thank you, Joshua. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, one thing I wanted to highlight on the previous slide was the operations cost was the total cost for our SI platform. So it was not just EVNV, it was all of the things I mentioned, plus a few more I'm sure I left out. So here is our project timeline. You can see that we are currently in M&O for the majority of the systems in our SI platform. This one, the purple items are specific to the EVV and pulling that inside the SI platform. And so we have a go live date of November. Next slide. Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Once again, I'll open it up to the committee for any questions. If there are none, back to you, Cheyenne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ADOA Asset is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions as presented. And please note that condition C has been completed.
All right. If there are no concerns or discussion about the conditions, I will take a motion with regard to this change request.
So moved.
Thank you, Christine. Do we have a second? Mr. Byers, are you seconding, or do you have a question? Go ahead.
I'll second it, but I do have a comment, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's what I mentioned earlier. And all we can do is go on what we know today. I understand that. But it's very possible that we're not going to see 90% federal reimbursement on this stuff going forward. And I suppose we'd have to come back then and determine as a state what we do. But, you know, there's so much going on at the federal level. This doesn't seem to me like a certainty. but I just make that comment so that we, I guess I alert people that we may have to come back and look at these someday if the plans change.
I'm confident if what you you know talking about with the uncertainties comes to fruition, I am confident these projects will have to come back with revisions at a minimum, if not a greater impact. So I think it's noted, but I'm with you as well that we can only go on the information that we actually have today. All right, with that, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? All right, thank you. Okay, last one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, and apologies for any background noise. There is some landscaping going on outside. But to reintroduce myself, my name is Cheyenne McFadden, and I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration, and I'm joined here with Access today. We will briefly give an overview of the ServiceNow project. For some background, on September 20th, 2023, ADOA Asset approved project investment justification for Access to procure the ServiceNow solution. The primary objective of the solution is to implement common workflows across the ServiceNow platform and services, which helps to ensure that access to care is prioritized by making data available and systems interoperable with one another in a standardized manner for the Access enterprises. Today, Access is requesting approval of a change request for an increase in budget, timeline, and scope for this project. That being said, I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions you may have. Anthony?
Thank you, Cheyenne. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Anthony Flott, and I have with me Joshua Worley. Next slide, please. This is a little background on what Cheyenne just presented on. This was around our original solution and pitch and ITAC submission. Again, you know, I have mentioned this in a couple different areas. The goal is to provide a centralized experience to both our external facing members, providers, health plans, and both on the internal side as well. This system, if you will, is one of the core tenets to our Medicaid enterprise system modernization efforts, and that it is doing our front end and our workflow for many of these services. But as you will see on the next slide, we have a specific use case we are trying to ask for in this change request. Next slide, please. Current overall project health is green. On this specific CR, we are looking to implement call center improvements. The call center for both the provider and members has been one of our heaviest hit areas over the last several years, as you can imagine, coming out of the PHE. But even now, we are still getting more calls than we have seen before. And so, one of the areas we would like to improve, and we feel that, we'd like to improve. Let me rephrase that. We need to improve, is in the call center area and utilizing AI to create efficiencies. And one of the reasons I say we need to improve is because at our current rate, we'll never be able to hire enough people to take all the calls coming in. And so some of the things we found are that 80% of the calls are for the same reasons. And if we could have AI potentially plugged into some of our systems of record to provide information as needed, we feel we'll be able to heavily offset a lot of those phone calls. I will say we have a partnership with Accenture that we have used AI on, and it has shown to be extremely effective. And so this is a change request essentially asking to pull that in-house to the state so that we own this solution and this technology. And we are able to utilize it for all of our internal call centers and not just the items that we have behind a vendor wall, if you will. We're going to build that into the ServiceNow platform and build the call center environment into the ServiceNow platform, utilizing those AI and workflow technologies that ServiceNow is known for. Next slide, please. So this, I want to highlight, is a planning change request. We need to, one, vet what we're doing with our external partners, two, vet how we're going to use our state call center technologies, and then three, plan how all of that is going to be integrated into our ServiceNow platform for seamless use. I'm just highlighting that there will be another change order, which will be for the DDI and the M&O. This is specifically around the planning of how we get there. And so we need that in order to right size our next change request, so that we are asking for the appropriate amount. Next slide, please. Here is an overall view of the ServiceNow implementation and project as it stands today. Again, this will be an additional item to what you see here on the screen. Next slide. Here is our intent as we are building out the planning. You will see that the second selection there around AI call center planning is specifically what we're asking for today, which would immediately turn around into the task order that we would get out for, you know, a change request to this committee. And then, assuming everything lines up perfectly, just how they have it there, and we meet all the dates, we would have project startup and design and implementation by February of 26. Next slide. Again, some of the benefits. When we own the solution, we will be able to utilize it as needed. We will not be dependent on a vendor or changing contracts. Currently, if we were to change contracts, we would have to potentially change technology, right? Which includes our proactive comm, our text messaging, our live chat. So it's not just a call center that would be affected by this when we have to change some of these solutions. And so by bringing that all in-house, we'll be able to own and leverage the technologies needed for live chat, for Gen AI chat, and for voice chat, all in a single environment, which should hopefully, one, reduce the amount of live voice hours needed, and also makes hopefully allow staff to be more productive by utilizing the tools within the platform. Next slide. So we are asking again today for the $2.2 million to do the planning around the development of pulling those call center elements into our platform, as well as designing the AI in a method that, one, we all approve of, number one, two, that's useful, and three, that will reduce the amount of live man hours needed to manage these phone calls and external communications from both our members and our providers. Next slide. Joshua, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Anthony. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As discussed earlier, the changes here are in FY 25 and 26. So you see here the 2.9 and 700,000. If we can go to the next slide. We're increasing both years by about 1.1 million each. So 25 goes to 4 million, and 26 goes to 1.9 million. Next slide.
Thank you, Joshua. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd like to highlight back on that slide again. This is a change order. And so when you see the maintenance and operations fees, this is for the entire solution, not just the call center. And so we have several items in the ServiceNow platform today that support both the internal access teams as well as 100,000 providers. And we also have use cases for our 2.2 million members. I'm not saying all 2.2 million use them, but it is available to those 2.2 million. So key goals for this project. Again, we've kind of talked through this, so I don't want to keep hounding on it, but we IBNV has put out a couple items on here. One of them is PMO resources. We feel like we have addressed that by hiring CSG, who is leading the project management and resourcing for us. Again, on this project as well as others, so that is the same. The other one on this is around production defect fixes beyond our hypercure period. This is a finding where we have worked with EY and they are continuing to provide production support beyond that because they've recognized there are some defects that still need to be resolved within the platform. As of today, I think we had highlighted in the one of the first slides, the project is green. So I just wanted to highlight that. Next slide, please. Mr. Chairman.
All right. Committee, any questions on this project? Go ahead, Christine.
Yeah, I have a question. I thought I heard in one of the series of presentations that there was an overall appropriation for the projects in combined. Did I hear that correctly?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Ford, yes. In 25, Access or ADOA got 3.4 million appropriated to the Automation Projects Fund for MES projects. These four presentations that we brought today is about 2.2 million of that Automation Project Fund money. So there's about 1 million remaining that we're anticipating in future CR requests and presentations.
And do you believe that's still adequate given, I think one of these, it may have been this most recent one, said that this is just for the planning component of the use of the AI. I mean, do you think that 1.2 is going to be adequate? It's a mystery, huh?
Yeah, so I mean, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Ford, we also have a request for additional MES APF money in 26. Anthony can probably give a better mindset on that 1.2 versus what we're going to be using the next approximately 6 million that we've requested for 26 for MES. But yes, we're constantly working with OSPB and the legislature to make sure that we have an appropriate amount of state match.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Ward, I will also highlight, as we've mentioned, that is the state match. And so if we combine the 1 million with the 90% from the feds, and I know we all have questions about what the feds are going to do, but we're operating under what we're aware of today. And so we do believe that may be enough, but to Joshua's point, we are still looking at additional ways to continue our modernization efforts.
Thank you.
All right, David, go ahead.
Yeah, gentlemen, this seems like an awful lot of money to me to do a planning project and then to implement. Did you guys do an analysis that shows that implementing this solution, with including the ongoing licensing costs, is cheaper than hiring people?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Byers, thank you for that question. We do not believe we are going to use the total amount of this money for the planning, but we wanted to make sure we had enough. This would be a not to exceed. I don't believe we're going to use anywhere close to that. We have done an analysis, and I will just highlight our current contract for which we have 35 live bodies. doing this work today, and that runs us $500,000 a month for 35 people. And so if we are able to displace the amount of calls those 35 people are taking with AI, which again, they are doing today heavily between live chat and AI, we do anticipate this will be money well spent when we bounce it against our broader call center environments. Again, those 35 people are working on a specific call center environment, call center right now. They are not working against our total call center. Does that answer your question, Mr. Byers?
Well, I'm just trying to do the math in my head here. So that's, you're running, you said $500,000 a month for 35
correct people?
You're paying somebody pretty well for that. Man, that's over $150,000 an employee, something like that, for a call center. I just ask, if you've done the math, it just seems like, because in this project, it looks like it's going to be over $40 million. And to implement the whole thing, and that's just a lot of people that you could have instead of the AIs. But as long as you've done it, you're assuring us that this makes sense financially over the long haul.
I thank you for that, Mr. Byers. I would just highlight, if we can go back to the money slide, if you guys don't mind, I just want to look at that. I know so. Total development, total operations. So I know I mentioned this earlier, that does add up to about $40 million, the 21 and the 17 there, I guess closer to 18. However, that is not just call center. That is the entire platform. And so that is, we have grievance and hearings in there right now. For example, we have ITSM in there. For example, we have our asset management, we have our portfolio management, we have our customer service solution. So that is for the entire ServiceNow platform. It is doing much more than just call center. And so that is why the cost may look a little bit high there, but it's really our entire enterprise workflow system and both external and internal front end system. And so when you combine all of those offerings, hopefully that makes sense why the money is what it is.
Okay, any further questions or discussion? All right, back over to you, Cheyenne.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that this change request be approved with the conditions as presented. And please note that condition C has been completed.
All right. Any questions or discussion of the conditions? If not, I will take a motion with regard to this change request.
So moved.
Thank you, Christine. Do we have a second?
This is Jaggi, Chairman. I second it.
Thank you, Jaggi. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Or any abstentions? Okay, that's the unanimous vote. Thank you, committee, for helping us get through all of those items. Thank you, Anthony and Joshua, for continually reintroducing yourselves and walking us through all the changes in the overall project. I am going to ask staff now to step in and provide some additional context to the members about, ASSET's oversight approach with these and why we broke these into separate items as well. And that's part of our effort to ensure that we're providing the right level of visibility. So, Hale, over to you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of committee. The reason that we beat these four projects separate because they are standalone initiatives and they're different timeframes and vendors. Like ServiceNow, as you saw, started in 2023 and then the other ones came after. So for that reason, we made it as a program and we are managing them or overseeing them as a program. As Anthony was stating, they have recently hired CSG, like a program management vendor to manage all these four projects. And we all meeting with IBMB and also with Anthony's team on a regular basis to look at all these four projects as a whole. So just wanted to make sure for your information, please share with you.
All right, thank you, Hilay. Any questions from the committee members on that? Go ahead, Christine.
Yeah, JR, the only thing that I saw that came to mind as we were going through the individual increments is while it would be helpful to see the financials as a whole, because they're pulling against a single appropriation, and to see the entirety of the program would be nice.
Okay. All right, that's good. So I'll take that up with the committee to see if we can come up with a good way to represent that for the members going forward when we have this type of circumstance.
Mr. Chairman, we can include that into our refactor quarterly informational update to the committee as a whole.
Great. Good. Okay. Anything? Let's see. Any other questions or comments on that? If not, we'll step forward. The remainder of our agenda, we had a couple of informational updates. Are these written only, or are we doing presentation on these?
I believe they are written only.
Okay.
Informational update.
So that covers that. So with that, I think we've reached the end of our voting items for today. Those informational updates were available in the packet for you to review if there aren't any questions on those. Our next meeting is scheduled for March 19th, and will call us to a close for the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.